Audiobook demo read by David Aston Reese. I seemed to be standing in a busy queue by the side of a long, mean street. Evening was just closing in, and it was raining. I had been wandering for hours in similar mean streets, always in the rain, and always in evening twilight. Time seemed to have paused on that dismal moment, when only a few shops have lit up, and it is not yet dark enough for their windows to look cheering. And just as the evening never advanced to night, so my walking had never brought me to better parts of the town. However far I went, I found only dingy lodging houses, small tobacconists, hoardings from which posters hung in rags, windowless warehouses, good stations without trains, and bookshops of the sort that sell the works of Aristotle. I never met anyone. But for the little crowd at the bus stop, the whole town seemed to be empty. I think that's why I attached myself to the queue. I had a stroke of luck right away, for just as I took my stand, a little waspish woman, who would have been ahead of me, snapped out at a man who seemed to be with her. "Very well, then. I won't go at all, so there," and left the queue. "Pray, don't imagine," said the man in a very dignified voice, "that I care about going in the least. I have only been trying to please you, for peace sake. My own feelings are, of course, a matter of no importance. I quite understand that." And suiting the action to the word, he also walked away. Come, thought I, that's two places gained. I was now next to a very short man with a scowl, who glanced at me with an expression of extreme disfavor, and observed, rather unnecessarily loudly, to the man beyond him, "This sort of thing really makes one think twice about going at all."
"What sort of thing?" growled the other, a big beefy person.
"Well," said the short man, "this is hardly the sort of society I'm used to, as a matter of fact."
"Huh?"
said the big man, and then added with a glance at me,
"Don't you stand any sauce from him, mister. You're not afraid of him, are you?"
Then, seeing I made no move, he rounded suddenly on the short man and said,
"Not good enough for you, are we? Like your lip."
Next moment he had fetched the short man one on the side of the face that sent him sprawling into the gutter.
Let him lay," said the big man,
to no one in particular.
"I'm a plain man. That's what I am, and I got to have my rights same as anyone else, see?"
As the short man showed no disposition to rejoin the queue, and soon began limping away, I closed up, rather cautiously, behind the big man, and congratulated myself on having gained yet another step. A moment later, two young people in front of him also left us arm in arm. They were both so trousered, slendered, giggly, and falsetto that I could be sure of the sex of neither. But it was clear that each for the moment preferred the other to the chance of a place in the bus. "We shall never at all get in," said a female voice with a whine in it from some four places ahead of me.
"Change places with you for 5 bob, lady," said someone else.